Do you know, I watched a clip from In Bruges the other day.
Mm.
That scene towards the end, the famous one with Ralph Fiennes and Brendan Gleeson, where he's saying, you just clicking your can there, aren't you? Just making a little clicky noise of that can.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah?
We're in the room together, guys.
Yeah, I know. He's saying he says,
I was telling the audience.
I know. Do you know?
They don't know.
No. Well, I wasn't. The way you picked up your can, I wasn't sure if you knew or not. That's why I was just checking if you knew.
We're not. It's not TIFO. Mm. It's not bottles of water. And are you allowed to drink water in the studio?
Technically, no, but we do.
Right.
Well, you are allowed to drink it out of bottles, but I drink it out of a cup, like a big baby.
So
it's
no
a big coloured cup.
And no one hears.
No one hears because I do it very quietly.
Right, but everyone hears you cough.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Coughing's involuntary.
Okay.
Drinking, it's voluntary.
Really? Okay.
What was I saying anyway? I was saying, yes. Ben Kingsley, Brendan Gleeson, the scene when they're in Bruges at the end.
No, not Ben Kingsley. Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes, God damn it. Ralph Fiennes is there. And Brendan Gleeson says to him, the thing is, you've always been a cunt, you know? And there's something he says about your cunt fucking kids and your cunt fucking wife. And Ralph Fiennes says, you take that bit back about my cunt fucking kids. Calling my kids cunts. And I watched that. I think I watched that for the first time before I saw
Sexy Beast.
Sexy Beast. And then when I watched it after I'd seen Sexy Beast, I did think, that's the Ben Kingsley character, yeah, isn't it? And maybe that's, you know, can that be claimed? Or is that's a normal sort of person? Ralph Fiennes couldn't play that any other way, probably.
He's stolen it.
He's kind of better at it, though. He's really good in that film.
I find him a bit broad in that film. I'd love you to get me an In Bruges, because I don't...
Really?
I don't, I mean, that everyone loves that film so much. I don't think of it ever.
That's the first time I've felt what you normally feel, which is the notion that if we were to do In Bruges on the Movies You Forgot podcast, that people would actually be upset. You think that sometimes about other films. I've never felt that before. But In Bruges would be top of that list.
Yeah, they would. This would be the number one.
And we just did Parasite.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do In Bruges.
I think we should now.
No, we're not. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to open the door to that. I just rewatched Sexy Beast.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen that in 20 years. And Ben Kingsley is, yeah, he has it. He owns it. He's that.
What do you think it means that the boulder's rolling down the hill?
It's chaos.
It's chaos.
It's what and
it's
and
a narrow miss.
And Don Logan is the human equivalent of the boulder.
He's rumbling towards you.
It's very on the nose. I hate things that are on the nose, but I quite like that how that's on the nose.
I mean, it isn't on the nose.
But it,
on the nose would be if like a character showed up and said, "He's rumbling towards you like chaos." You're intelligent, so you've pulled the strings in your brain and you've gone, "That is a visual metaphor for what comes later in the film." So if it's only on the nose because you're smart and you spot it, then it's not on the nose.
Okay,
you haven't got your finger on the pulse.
It's on the face.
If you had your finger on the pulse, you would know it wasn't on the nose.
Right.
Because it'd be on the pulse.
So then it's just clever writing.
Well, depends who you are.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to be the host. And Joe prefers to be the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
But you were doing a kind of a gruff Cockney voice.
I was saying, that's my fucking seat. I've been set on that for 30 years.
Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot, You Forgot
Wait,
podcast.
Wait, let me make my point first. Just a quick
movie.
One, and then you can do it again.
Okay.
New game. When you think I've finished making the point, you shout hello.
Okay.
And start, okay? Okay. Ready? Now, where was I? Oh, yes. I think that if it's a sci-fi movie, people should just use whatever their normal accent is, unless there's something specific to the story that requires an accent. Because people can suspend their disbelief and assume that in the far-flung future, or indeed in a completely different world, who knows what's happened? Why could you not have an English person and an American person speaking to each other without having to question it? Doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Ooh, it's for you to decide. Is the point finished?
It didn't seem like it was. I thought you had
thought
more.
There was more.
Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, the host, Adam Richmond. This is the show where we talk about the movies or films. We forgot we'd even seen in the first place. That we've forgot, even though it's you've forgotten the title. I'm joined as ever by my co-host, my bro-host, Mr. Joe...
Jesus.
Mr. Joe Devine.
Right, yeah. What's up, bro hose?
I wish I hadn't said that now.
I want to address the ambient rain. I don't know that it will survive the intense crushing of the edit, but it's quite nice that we're in the same room and there's rain lightly dropping on a skylight.
Well, how more apt than rain to Blade Runner?
I know.
Lousy with rain.
I wonder if the rain hasn't survived the edit, should we add rain in? Just for ambiance, like underneath the whole thing.
Well, that's what Blind Boy does on the Blind Boy podcast.
Oh, the Blind Boy podcast.
I'll be bringing him up later because I just dipped into his repertoire recently and he talks about Blade Runner, the original.
Right.
And so that's, again, everything's all connected.
Great. Well, there you go. We'll just, we'll rip off what someone else has done then. That seems good.
On today's episode, we are doing the 2017... Can you believe that? Can you believe this movie was in 2017?
That sounds recent to me, but I know it's not. It's almost 10 years ago.
It's almost 10 years ago.
I can believe that. 2017 doesn't seem like 10 years ago to me.
Time. Like tears in rain.
Yeah.
Memories. That's more like memories, actually. Time doesn't get washed away like tears in rain.
It really doesn't.
Memories do, though.
Also, that movie was a lot longer ago. What was that, 1984?
82. I just rewatched that as well. And people don't even know what I'm talking about now because I've not said the name.
Well, they've clicked on the episode.
2017's Blade Runner 2049.
That's confusing. Now, sorry, is the film called 2017 Blade Runner and it came out in 2049? Or is it called Blade Runner 2049 and it came out in 2017.
That's a really good point. I can see where the confusion has arisen.
Thanks.
So the movie title is Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
The year it came out is not connected to the title.
The title is the year it came out is not connected to the title. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I said.
I didn't remember watching this film. I thought I watched the film Blade Runner 2049.
That's what it's called.
Oh.
Directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Denis.
I've got a spell on you. Denis. He a good film director, I said.
Yeah, he a good... Although, we'll come to that.
Okay.
I've got some thoughts about Denis.
Really?
One of my favourite film directors. Is he also one of the most movies you forgot movie director of all time?
Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve?
Yeah.
To be discussed, perhaps. This movie stars Ryan Gosling as Agent K.
Gozzers.
A.K.A. Joe.
Yep.
We've got Harrison Ford as Rick Deckard. Ana de Armas is the kind of sex bot.
The hologram.
Hologram, not sex bot, but kind of a AI sex bot.
Well, I mean, a hologram.
A kind of a sex bot. Nah. We've got Robin Wright, formerly known Robin Wright Penn.
Ah, yeah. She dropped the pen. And that's why Sean divorced her. Because she was always dropping pens all around the house. And he loves pens, does Sean? Buys it all expensive pens.
She dropped them.
Yeah. Drop that pen.
Drop that pen.
And just be Robin Wright.
Dave Bautista and Jared Leto. Or Leto. Did you say Leto or Leto?
I would argue in an almost entirely cuttable part, Jared Leto.
Let's get to that.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get to that.
Or we could speak about it and then cut it out of the podcast to make a sort of thematic point about how cuttable it was.
No, let's not be funny. Let's just...
God, that rain's really piping up, isn't it?
Oh, the rain doesn't want us to do that. It's 164 mins. Too long. Don't worry about the rain.
I'm thinking about the rain. I'm just thinking about the rain. Okay, because I'm not sure what's going to... Yeah, no,
doesn't
fine.
Matter.
It could matter.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Fine. Why does it matter? We're in a room talking about a film that no one cares about.
Okay, fine. Continue.
And you're going to get it out with AI.
No,
thematically, everything we're doing now is connected to the movie we just watched.
Okay, fine. Okay, go.
164 mins.
Yeah.
Too long.
No, it's not. It's not too long. It's absolutely fine.
And here's to the Letterboxd.
Go on. Yeah, what's the Letterboxd?
I like this movie. That's not part of it. The key to the future is finally unearthed. That's in caps. 30 years after the events of the first film, a new Blade Runner, LAPD Officer K, unearths a long-buried secret that has the potential to plunge what's left of society into chaos. That's absolute nonsense. K's discovery leads him on a quest to find Rick Deckard, a former LAPD Blade Runner who has been missing for 30 years. That's two mentions of 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We get it letterboxed.
Do you want to hear the IMDb?
Yeah, go on then.
It says, young Blade Runner K's discovery of a long-buried secret leads him to track down former Blade Runner Rick Deckard, who's been missing for 30 years.
Same, sort of same.
I noticed you were saying Deckard almost.
Deckard.
As if you were a young man at school and you were getting in a fight with another boy, you would want to deck him hard, you know? Whereas I think it's more of a Deckard.
Deckard.
Yeah, that's how
they say it.
Emphasis on the deck.
Deckard.
Erd is almost the, you know, or if you want for fun, we could Deckard. We could Deckard, a bit like Picard, you know?
No, I did just watch...
Jean-Luc Deckard.
I did watch the original Blade Runner, so they all say Deckard.
Yeah, they say Deckard.
You know Blade Runner, the original, set in 2019?
Yeah, I did know that, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know? Well, you did, because you've seen the film before and it says it at the beginning of the film.
I haven't seen it for like 20 years.
Well, then what you mean is you forgot that.
But then I didn't know it.
I don't think that's true. I think if you once you know something, you know it. If you forget it, does that erase the knowledge? No, it erases the recall.
I think you don't know it if you've forgotten it.
You mean if you can't recall it... Then you don't know it.
Yeah.
I think technically that's not true.
What do you mean technically?
I think technically that's not how brain science works. I think every memory is stored. Your ability to recall those memories is the thing that you know.
Under what process do you find that out to prove that point? Where you're going to get someone's brain?
Some people have photographic memories.
Right.
And they record everything, like every brain does. And the difference in their brain is their, like the psychological difference is their ability to recall those memories. So I would argue that once you know something, you always know it. If you forget it, it doesn't mean you don't know it anymore. It just means you can't recall it.
What if I never... Do you know what? When I watched Blade Runner, I never soaked in that it said 2019.
If you weren't looking at the screen in that moment...
Yeah.
Then I would agree. But I've watched you watch films, and you don't look away from the screen, really.
Who takes in that information? We had a big argument about when The Patriot was set. And it tells you at the beginning.
We didn't have an argument. I listened back to that part of the edit, by the way. It was just me repeatedly telling you when it was set and you getting confused about when it was set in a conversation where someone was telling you again and again when it was set.
That was quite fun, though, for me to do. I was having fun, though.
Sure, okay, got it. Yeah. Anyway, so you can't recall that, yeah, but now you can recall it because you watched it the other day, it settled in.
Should we start with how long it is?
You already did that.
No, but like I think we should really drill in.
How long do you want it to be?
I want it to be as long as it should be.
Which is how long it is.
No, it should not be as long as it should be. Because the first 40 minutes...
You said you want it to be as long as it should be, and now you're saying it shouldn't be as long as it should be.
No, don't be facetious. The movie... The shape of the movie should be shorter.
If I'm not allowed to be facetious, there's no podcast here. Sorry, the shape of the movie should be shorter. It's a tall shape.
The movie is the movie is insisting it's 164 minutes. It insists it is. It needn't be.
I mean, it is. It is.
No, right. There should be more brevity here. It's such a tone poem.
Yeah, I love tone poems.
Right.
Also, you're always saying that things are insisting upon themselves.
No, I don't.
When they're just being themselves.
I've never said that before. That's a Peter Griffin thing from Family Guy.
For fuck's sake.
The first 40 minutes of this movie.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happens.
Not true.
You're introduced to a world and a character.
Yeah.
I love world building.
It's gracious.
You could
It's graceful.
Sure.
And also that's when you see Dave Bautista, who I think is very good in this film.
He's very good in this
film. For the short period of time that he's in it.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I also like all of the tone poetry in the first 40 minutes of this. I mean, quite a lot happens in the first 40 minutes of the film. The inciting incident happens, which is that Kay, who's played by Gozzers, discovers a body buried deep beneath a dead tree that was being guarded by Dave Bautista, who was an old what do they call them? I forget the name they give them.
Replicant.
A replicant that K had obviously been charged to go and discharge. And it transpires that the body that they know died during childbirth was a replicant. That's the inciting incident. That's quite a lot of stuff that happens there. It's quite fun. You learn about the character. You learn about the dynamics. You learn about his world. You know, you learn about sort of a bit about what's happened to the world in the last 30 years. I think it's good. So what are you cutting?
What do you mean? What am I cutting?
Well, I mean, if the movie's too long for you, what are you cutting from the film? Like I've said, you could cut all the Jared Leto scenes and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. That's maybe 10 mins.
Maybe 15, because he does go on.
Do you know what? I'm wrong. The film that they've written is this length.
Yeah.
And I think they've written the wrong film. I don't like the story. I don't care about the story.
Really?
This film is about emotions, and it's about, like, I don't even know what it's about.
It's about emotions. You just said it.
Yeah, but, like, specifically, like, is it saying, like, oh, it seems to insist, and there's that word again.
Uh-oh.
Like, replicants and robots and AIs, what if they have feelings and what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And exploring feelings and memory, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what any of it, like, is saying about any of that.
I mean, it's a classic theme on movies, You Forgot, You Forgot, isn't it?
And you just don't care what it's saying.
No, no. My question back to you always when you say that is, why does it have to be saying anything? When you like a film, you couldn't give a fuck what it's saying. And I've got you on record before saying that when you like films, and I said, I don't really know what the film's about. And you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's because you didn't like the film that you then start to like, how can I package my criticism? Oh, yeah, I don't know what it's saying, and therefore it's not a good film. Why does it have to be saying anything?
I'm not saying it's not a good... It's obviously...
You're intimating that it's not a good film.
No, listen, this is one of the most... it's probably the greatest looking movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
Hands down.
Well, sure, but that's like saying, you know, he's a 10 for looks, but he's not got a lot going on in the brain.
Right, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, no, it's this isn't...
Because I don't know what's under the hood.
Right.
And it doesn't speak to me.
Emotions. A lot of emotions are under the hood. It's not the film's fault that you can't connect with the film.
It is the film's fault. Because the story it's telling is both really, really obvious, but also told in a very obscure way. It's really obvious.
What's the obvious bit?
The obvious story is, oh, there's a baby of two replicants, and what does that mean for society?
That's not what the film's about, but yeah.
Yeah, but Robin Wright, Detective Robin Wright Penn, she says, when people find out this, there's going to be chaos in the streets. And I'm watching and I'm thinking, what? Really? I don't know what you're talking about.
Got it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Let me pause you there.
Right.
What is Parasite about? Don't say poverty, because
it's not. No, I know that.
What's it about?
It's about a family.
Right. What about them?
It's about how they look after each other.
So that's what it's saying?
It's not saying anything.
Okay, strike one. There you go. That's fine. This film, the replicant stuff, the sci-fi stuff, all of that, it's just trappings, Adam.
Right.
It's simply trappings. The film is about a man going through an existential crisis... Who almost you could term it almost a midlife crisis, where he finds that information that he thinks deeply personally applies to him, and then it transpires that it doesn't. What kind of impact does that have on a person? What does that say about him and his agency and his autonomy? It's just exactly the same as every other film. It doesn't matter that he's a robot. It's completely irrelevant that he's a replicant. It's just the context, the trappings of the scene. It's saying people should take charge of their own lives and they should do what they think and feel is right. That's what the film's saying. It's not the film's fault that you don't get that when you watch the film.
No, I get that.
You get it now, I've told you.
Yeah, no, it's crystal clear to me. I think Gosling's performance is so interior as to make that nigh on impossible to connect with.
I mean, I don't think so at all, because I connect with... This film makes me cry every time I watch it.
What bit?
The bit at the end where he says, all the best memories are hers. That's a fantastic line.
When I don't like a movie, then I just nitpick it, and then you go, well, you didn't get it. Like, that's every movie conversation ever. What have I done wrong?
I think you've lived your life wrong, you know.
Leto.
Jared.
Jared.
Yeah.
You can lop him out of the movie.
I think you can lop him out of the movie and his weird eyes. Yeah. I don't care about him at all. And I think, what is the name of...
The actress.
Love.
Oh.
Yeah, no, she's called Love, isn't she?
Yeah, she's that's amazing. Her name.
She's, I think, one of the best baddies in films of the last sort of 20 years. The face she makes when she's being strangled underwater at the end of the film is, it's absolutely terrifying. And I wish I could remember her name.
Well, I'm looking her up because she is easily the best thing in this movie.
Yeah.
She's called Sylvia Herks.
Was born Sylvia Herks.
Mahisa, a southern town in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she has not, like, since then, it's outrageous. She's not really been in anything.
She's incredible in the film. She's so scary and unpleasant. And she's far, far more interesting than Jared Leto and his character could ever be. I also think the notion of having a shadowy corporate kind of tech bro type, you know, as we've described, that's a lot more interesting if you never meet the character. What that character means and how Love reacts against him in his absence, I think makes her character more interesting as well. She's fantastic. She's clearly the real antagonist. I do wonder how much of him is already cut out of the film because he's barely in it at all. And for a 3-hour movie, it's kind of weird that like your lead arch antagonist is just not in it. You know, it would make sense, I think. I think lop him out completely. Don't need him. Or just get any other actor to do that part. You know, I could say any actor. So in fact, let's play a quick game. Just forget about everything I've said.
Yeah.
We'll play the game called Say Any Actor. Yeah?
Yeah.
Go.
Patricia Clarkson.
Yes.
Paul Giamatti.
Yes, definitely.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Adam Sandler?
Dark Sandler would be good in this, I think. Yeah, I think so. What's the name of that film? Uncut Gems Sandler, marching around the fucking big room, saying, get me more. I need to get the replicants out here.
Yeah, I think Leto is beating Sandler here. I know the game's a great game, but I do think it starts to fall to pieces.
Who's perfect for this role? What about Oscar Isaac? He kind of does it in Her, right? Not in Her, sorry, in
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
So he's already done that. I mean, it's just, you know, just say Joaquin Phoenix.
I don't think, no. He's too, you know.
Tim Robbins. Morgan Freeman.
Tim Robbins could do it if this was 2004. So what about like a Christopher Eccleston?
That's just Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They've gone pretty boy. So what? It's basically Chris Pratt.
Or you can't have Pratt.
I prefer Pratt to Leto.
I actually wouldn't.
Yeah, do you know what? Sometimes I say something, I don't mean it.
You hear it out loud.
I say it to my wife all the time.
Yeah.
She came back today and I was working. She dropped the kids off. She came back and she's busying herself around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
She went into the drawer.
Pottering. My wife calls that pottering.
Pottering.
Yeah.
She pulls out one of those flasks, a soup flask, and the lid's on top. And she holds it up and she says, when you put these away with the lid on top, they get quite fusty.
Mm.
So, and she goes to the sink to, so she's saying,
fusty, she
she's
says.
Saying to me,
she says fusty.
She's saying to me, don't do that.
What does she mean by fusty?
Well, it's fusty and musty and stinky. It's no good. You can't fill it with hot stuff straight away. You need to rinse it.
Right.
The only reason it's been put away so quickly is because it's been left on the side for so long. That's the only reason it's been put away quickly. I can't promise that won't happen again.
Mm.
I can't promise that.
Yeah.
And like, you're always leaving the drawers open.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. So this doesn't go well.
You didn't meet... Oh, right.
This doesn't go well.
No, of course not.
That doesn't go. I say that and it doesn't go well.
She said the fusty thing, though.
She said one thing. She said fusty. Oh. Musty, fusty.
Okay.
I'm hurt. And obviously, I just lash out.
Yeah.
I'm lashing.
That's your thing.
She said, I can't believe you. You're always doing stuff. You're always saying stuff.
She shouldn't be surprised.
You're reacting like, that's how I react.
Yeah.
Why do you have to bring these other things up? I'm just trying to give you some feedback. I'm trying to work.
Yeah. I don't want feedback right now.
I don't want feedback.
Particularly not fusty feedback.
Anyway, luckily, she's still pottering around. And 5 minutes later, I apologized
right,
for
right,
my
right.
reaction.
Got it. But you didn't mean it.
I didn't mean it when I said it.
I don't know if this is the right story to tell, because I think, the truth is you do mean it. You just wish you hadn't said it that way. Because she is always leaving the cupboard doors open. You wouldn't not mean that, would you? It would be crazy to not mean that if it was true.
No, because if I don't mean it because I don't want to say it, you know? I've held on to it for so long.
Those are different things. Not wanting to say something and not meaning something. Those are two different
things.
Well,
that's what your therapist would say.
No, it's not. It's what I'm saying to you in this moment.
I don't mean it.
Anyway, Fusty, I would have thought that like keeping the lid on the flask would actually keep external bacteria out. Maybe it seems fusty. It's probably actually cleaner than otherwise it would be. You leave that lid off, stuff's just getting in there. You know, trace elements of bacteria and dust that you can't really see. I hope she'd be rinsing it either way, personally. Seems as though she's come home and lashed out at you.
Find him, Hittite. Run. You'll have to. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Do you want to hear what Blind Boy has to say about Blade Runner?
Not really, but I feel like you're going to tell me anyway.
Well, it's interesting because the Blind Boy podcast, massive podcast. Mm-hmm. I got into it a couple of years ago and I listened to a good 10 or 15. And then.
Is he blind?
No, he wears a plastic bag on his head.
Oh, so he can't see?
No, he can. Do you want to.
No, I mean, he can't see when he's got the bag on
his
head.
No, he's got eyes, the eye holes.
He's got eye holes.
Yeah. He does it so he doesn't get recognized.
So the bag isn't relevant to him being called blind?
No.
Oh.
That's just his. That's his name.
That's his name.
He was in a band,
right?
I think they're called the Rubber Bandits.
Yeah.
Anyway, very intense podcast, storytelling, intimate, lovely. I haven't listened to it for ages, and then I've watched Blade Runner 2049, released in 2017, and I listened to a recent one because it's about water, it's about rain, and it's about Thatcher. And it's about privatization of water. Who owns water? It's a great episode. It's a very recent one.
Who does own water?
Hmm?
Who owns water?
Well, listen to the episode.
Right. Do you
it's
not remember?
It's about water roads. I'm not going to... Listen, there's nothing worse than someone who's listened to a podcast and then tells someone else about what they heard in the podcast. And
I couldn't agree more. Should we move on?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because there's one fucking fact I can hook this on. I'm not going to tell you anything else. This is a story about what podcasts I listen to. I'm not telling you about the podcast.
Adam Curtis has joined the room.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a story about a podcast.
Christ alive. So I told...
In 2001, George Bush was on the phone to Saddam Hussein. No, go on.
So I shared with my mate, who I knew was a Blind Boy fan.
Yeah.
I said, this one... It's been a while. This is great.
This is a corker.
Still not talking about the contents of the podcast.
Right, right.
She replies, yeah, brilliant. This one is also really good. She sends me one back.
Another different one.
Another different episode of the Blind Boy podcast. And it's about him finding someone in China seeing a mural of Blind Boy in China.
Right.
That's the whole episode.
Yeah.
So I listened to that one. He talks at length about... Blade Runner.
No, he doesn't.
And I listened to this
right
a week after having watched Blade Runner.
Just coincidentally.
That's coincidence.
Well, it is one of the most popular films ever made, but it's still a little coincidental.
It's not just coincidental, actually. It's serendipitous.
It's serendipitous.
Because he dropped some really interesting things about Blade Runner that I had never even thought about.
Yeah.
Because I know that movie. You know, that's the movie that's on the syllabus. Watch a movie. You're into movies.
Can I interject?
Yeah, sure.
Just for one second.
Oh, I mean, get me off track.
I
sure.
do want to hear the story.
No.
Once I'm done with this interjection, I'll let you go.
That's fine.
But last night I was watching Dragon's Den.
Christ.
You know?
Yeah.
For American listeners, that's Shark Tank, but in England, where they're dragons and they're
in
a den.
New series? Or?
Yeah, it was on BBC. I gave my wife the controller. Big mistake. She turns the TV on. Doesn't even pick something. And she goes, oh, Dragon's Den. And then we watch a little bit of Dragon's Den. Anyway, there was a woman on Dragon's Den. And she was saying, you know that bit, have you seen it recently? They really lean into the personal journey, the personal development journey, where they get to the bit where they go, well, the business is shit, but tell us about you and your character. And the person always says something like, oh, everyone I know is dead and I haven't got any limbs and I've had to struggle my whole life to get here without any limbs or any family. And now I've got a business now. And they go, good for you. I'd invest in you, but not in your shit business. Yeah, right?
It's a no from me.
It's a no from me, but good luck without your having any family. Anyway, there was a woman last night who said, and I don't want to trivialize it because I'm sure she's worked hard. She said, I've had a really hard life and I've worked really hard to get here. And I was thinking, yeah, good for you. You know, well done. Whatever. Then she says, I don't believe in coincidences. That's what she said. She said she doesn't believe in coincidences. And I thought, if I was a dragon or a shark or any, you know, big animal that invested in things, I wouldn't invest in someone that said that they didn't believe in coincidences. Because surely, like, that's just a very basic thing. They obviously do exist. If you mean you believe in fate, then that's fine. Okay, I can't disprove fate. But I can say that coincidences definitely do exist.
Well, this is one right now because I'm talking about a coincidence.
Right.
And you've just watched Dragon's Den.
And it's about coincidences.
Where someone denies the existence of coincidences.
That's one right now.
I was watching last week, I was watching an episode of the Junior Bake Off. Have you seen the Junior Bake Off?
I haven't even seen the Senior Bake Off.
So Harry Hill is the host of the Junior Bake Off.
Yeah, with the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they like him?
Oh, they love him. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he is funny, yeah.
And so this recent week, usually they have a theme for the week. There's right. Like cake week.
Yeah.
Pastry week.
They're all family themes, I hope. They're not like porn week or murder week.
It's cake week. Pastry
make
week.
Make a cake of a gun shooting someone to death.
Well, you say that. So yeah. This week, it was biscuit week.
Right.
But it was make a biscuit, but shaped as your favourite sex robot.
What?
It's on 4OD right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's on FOD.
On FOD.
Yeah. And how many different kind of sex robots are there?
Well, you know all the sex robots.
Ana de Armas, except she's more of a sex hologram.
Yeah, but they didn't mind.
That one someone from Rick and Morty.
Someone did. They didn't do that one. No, it was from film. It was film sex robots.
Right.
It was all. And actually, also, sometimes they were a bit loose on the rules. You could imagine your own sex robot.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that was... It's just like happenstance.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as Junior Bake Off?
Yes.
Is Harry Hill the host?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
You were telling an anecdote about Blind Boy.
Yeah, about a podcast.
Mm.
I wasn't sharing any detail of the podcast. Anyway, he said this. When Blade Runner came out in 1982, it hit audiences with this, American audiences with this kind of affront. Of an image. Harrison Ford, in the rain, he goes and orders noodles on the street and has a Tsing Tao beer.
And everyone's Asian.
And everyone's Asian.
I mean, virtually like everyone in the scene, outside in the rain, they're all Asian extras.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I watched that, when I was maybe in the early 90s,
uh-huh.
I just thought, oh, this is the future.
Yeah.
And then when I watch it more recently, you're like, oh yeah, noodles and a beer. That's really normal.
Yeah.
And he said at the time, like, if you're an American, you're like, oh, you have Budweiser and a hot dog. This is this what the future is? This is really scary. And he was talking about cyberpunk and how cyberpunk, because it's a cyberpunk movie.
Yeah. You mean the aesthetic rather than the video game?
Yeah, you've said that twice. I don't even think about the video game. Cyberpunk is a...
It's not about you. For listeners, lots of people, when you say cyberpunk, will think about the big famous video game that came out in the last few years.
I think that's outrageous. You can't call a video game after...
It's called Cyberpunk 2077, I think.
Doesn't matter. You can't just do that.
So you wouldn't have a video game that was called, like, Goth 201?
No.
No.
Or...
That would be banned.
No.
What other type is there?
Goth? Neorealism 2. No.
neorealism one was so popular, they made a sequel.
Expressionism.
Right.
Times a thousand.
Yeah.
It's just, fuck off. Anyway, that's something, whatever.
Keanu Reeves is in that game.
What? What's he doing it?
He's the main character that you play.
In Expressionism times a thousand.
No, he's in Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were doing a fun little
no,
riff there.
No.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Right, you know that. Because
he's a fucking...
He's also in Expressionism times a thousand.
Death. Death. You're gonna kill me. You're gonna fucking kill me. Why? Why? Because I fucked you? You fucked me! You came to my house! You came to me! I got you a car! I brought you your tools! You took a fucking bubble bath! You wanted it! You wanted it! You came out to me! What was I supposed to do? Well, you lied to me! I tried to help you! I let you in! I was a good guy! I'm a good father! And you just fucking fucked me! What? They didn't kill me! You're gonna kill me? Why? Why? You should fuck me! What the fuck? Fuck! Fuck! This is fucking insane!
So Blind Boys suggests that cyberpunk is orientalist.
Right.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Scared of Asians.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then also the fetishization
yes.
of it. Yes. And like, that's nice. We'll have a bit of that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Noodles.
Japanese tech.
Yeah. Chinese whatever.
It's interesting. What you're saying is that if you are an American viewer in 1982 and you're watching that, the experience that you might have would be different from the one that you and I had when we watched it for the first time. Because what you and I thought when we watched it for the first time, as we've discussed before the podcast, was, oh, this is cool. This is like a nice idea that in the future there's like a melting pot of different cultures. And of course, why wouldn't there be? And this film was made at a time when the birth rate of Asian countries was far outpacing the birth rates of westernized countries. And so it makes complete sense that there would be, you know, lots of Asian people around. There's also, this is a common idea within sci-fi books that are set, you know, novels that are set in the future, usually always have, or very, very often have stories that might be set in America or set somewhere, but where the aesthetic is like very influenced by Asian aesthetic. Partly that is, as we said, like Japanese tech, Chinese food, and even the idea that in the future, everyone's skin tone is sort of the same color of like, you know, of a kind of light brown, you know, the idea being that once people get over the idiocy of being afraid of mixed race relationships, maybe once we get past the point where we even call them mixed race relationships, then everyone will sort of maybe look a bit the same. So it's like, it's a very common thing that comes up in sci-fi regularly. And I always thought it was just sort of a cool idea or thought about the future. What you're saying, and I guess what Blind Boy is talking about, is the idea that if you're an American in 1982 and you watch that, actually that might be quite a frightening idea, because it's suggestive in some ways that there is another world power that might be more dominant in the future, or that American culture might be kind of being erased from a film that you assume is set in LA, isn't it? So it's in America.
Well, that's what maybe I was getting to, is that level of detail in Blade Runner in the world in 2019.
Mm-hmm. You mean in the Blade Runner 1, 2019?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You don't get any of that sense of richness in the 2049 version. You get the aesthetic,
yeah.
And it looks gorgeous, but there is none of the... There's none of the noodle stuff. There's none of, like, the famous shot in Blade Runner of the big bright lights, and it's a geisha and she's holding a can of Coke.
Yeah.
And it keeps coming back to that shot. And so there is all of that stuff. That is all absent. The stuff you do see,
it's true.
It's all sex-based.
Yeah.
A big giant Ana de Armas and her bottom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Just, is it... I mean, I don't want to say you can't say anything anymore. Do you think there would have been decisions that were made about, like, not, we should not, don't do the geisha thing.
Avoiding the fetishization
yeah.
of Asian culture in the film.
Right.
Maybe I'd never thought about that before. Maybe that is true. I do also wonder whether, like, any opportunity to get a famous Western Hollywood actor in a film would maybe be taken. Do you know what I mean?
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, Ana de Armas is very famous, and she's...
Was she?
Yeah, I think so.
Was she?
Well, I mean, she certainly was on the rise if she wasn't already a household name.
Is she?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Really?
I would say so. Should we look at her IMDb? Let's do it. Let's do it, Ana. Wait.
She is a forgot. You forgot, mate.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
She's had her day in the sun.
One second, let me get her IMDb up.
She'll be playing mums next.
Jesus Christ.
That's not me. That's Hollywood.
Christ alive.
Oh, my days. She hasn't got the fucking chops or anything.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
So I'll start where films begin.
Really?
I don't know. This is confusing.
Start big.
Okay. Well, she's obviously in a lot of Spanish language stuff.
Yeah. Skip that.
Yeah.
We're talking about her being big in culture, right?
Fine. Okay. Her breakout film.
Yeah.
Will have been in Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves, where she plays one of the girls that knocks at his house. How to put this delicately? Okay. That film did not disappear. Maybe in cinema culture, that film disappeared. But I think many people have seen that film.
Okay. Boys in their rooms watching a movie doesn't make someone a star.
I didn't say that. I simply said many people have seen that film. Okay. Then she was in a couple of other movies before in 2016.
I'd love to be in a room full of men and just go, hands up. Who's seen Knock Knock?
Right.
And they're sat next to their wives or partners.
And no one puts their
hand
up.
No one puts their hand up.
And then the women leave the room and you say, if you don't put your hand up, honestly, I'm going to murder you all. And they all put their hands up because they've all seen the film Knock Knock.
I think they've seen 5 minutes of Knock Knock and then they've Knock Knock one out.
You know what else they've seen?
Yeah.
They've seen the film War Dogs from 2016, where Ana de Armas plays the wife that becomes partner, that becomes wife of... What's his name? Miles
Teller.
Miles Teller. That's a famous film.
Not that famous.
Nah, it was pretty famous.
No.
It was pretty famous.
It was not pretty famous. It did... Fuck me. That disappeared as well. And she's the bit part girlfriend.
Then she was in Blade Runner 2049.
Right. At that point, you're telling me that she's massive and I've won the
argument. Okay, she's not massive.
Right.
But she's famous. All I said was she was famous. I said famous Hollywood actors, and you said, Ana de Armas, you now you're changing the goalposts.
Yes,
I said
that's
famous
like
Hollywood actors, as opposed to Asian actors that people maybe don't know. That's the point I was making anyway. Then, what else has she been in? Yeah, not that much since then. She was in the first Knives Out film. She was in, of course, No Time to Die, the James Bond movie. So she, you know, did a James Bond film.
That's a peak.
Deep Water with Mark Wahlberg. Yeah?
No, Ben Affleck.
You're thinking of Dark Waters.
No, I'm thinking of Deep Water.
Deep Water
was... Ben Affleck.
No,
Mark
is it?
Mark Wahlberg is not in Deep Water.
Oh, it is Ben
That's
Affleck.
That's sauce, mate. I tell you what. The men who are not putting their hands up at Knock Knock, they're putting their hands up at Deep Water.
Good Lord.
I tell you what!
Okay, then beyond that, she was in The Grey Man...
That's straight to Netflix with Chris Evans and Gozzers.
Blonde?
Double Gozzers.
Double Gozzers. Blonde? Anyway, then she was in Ghosted, Eden. And
Disappeared.
And
Disappeared.
Ballerina.
I didn't mind that, but she's not very good in it.
Where she plays an assassin trained in the traditions of the Ruscaroma organization, and she sets out to seek revenge after her father's death.
John Wick franchise.
Is it?
Yes.
I think she... Come on, man. She's a star.
She's not.
Yeah, she's a star. We just have different definitions of what being a star means. What I think it means is that if you called the biggest restaurant in Hollywood and said, can I get a reservation at last second's notice? And they said, yes, it's because you're a star.
Okay.
And if I'm Ana de Armas, not Ana de Armas.
If I'm Ana de Armas.
If I'm Ana de Armas. If I'm Ana de Armas
yeah.
and I call a restaurant, they give me a reservation.
Yeah, well.
Star.
That call is not getting answered for pretty soon.
Let's revisit in 5 years' time.
Let's.
Put it in your calendar, a reminder for 4.5 years. 6 months to prepare for a conversation with Joe about how big a star Ana de Armas is.
Yeah, everyone, yeah. Pop it in your calendar.
What were we talking about? The Orientalism thing.
The guy, like in the original, the huge Geisha lights, and then in 2049, the world feels so small when he's in the district. In that, the one thing that just bugs me the most in that, when Gozzers goes back to his flat, there's like one bit where he goes and has his food, and that's where he meets another sex bot. And it's like such a small... so much of the world feels massive in the LA thing. And
there's not a lot of... what do we call it? Sprawl?
There's not a lot of sprawl in this movie.
It is a shame, the lack of sprawl, I would say. I think you get some sprawl when you get to LA, because... To Las Vegas, sorry. Because you see him flying into it and arriving, and you know the city kind of emerges from the dust storm.
But that's 2 hours into the movie, and I'm just begging for more sprawl.
I agree. Sprawl wise, really, what we're talking about is inside of his apartment.
Yep.
Inside of Robin Wright's office.
Yep.
And not even really that much in the rest of the police center.
You got the dead body bit.
The dead body, the morgue.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, and then also you've got like the hallway outside his flat and then the square where he gets some food or whatever. And I do think it does lack sprawl, which the original Blade Runner does not. The original Blade Runner has so much sprawl, even to the notion where... you know, what's the scene where he goes to fight the like ballerina woman, you know? That's sprawly in and of itself, because that space just feels like it keeps going and going and going and going. You
it's,
know?
Yeah, through the streets.
And when they climb onto the roof with Rutger Hauer at the end, it feels like a video game where everything is a playable area, as opposed to Blade Runner 2049, which is decidedly not open world and which has levels set in mission areas that are you're allowed to go in, where you can't get out of them.
Yeah, there's like load screen between each bit.
Yeah.
You put that so beautifully.
Thanks, yeah.
I couldn't, that's it. There's nothing else to say
to
that.
You couldn't, that's it.
You couldn't, that's it.
You couldn't, and that's it. Hey, that's it.
I am a golden god!
Denis, let's talk about Denis.
I've got my eye on you.
Denis.
I really need a pose. No, that's it over and over again. It goes, Denis, I need a big old poo. Denis, a shnooby dooby doo.
Denis, why are you so forgettable?
You think he's forgettable?
No.
Let me do it. Let me go through Denis, and then we'll dunno once and for all whether Denis is dunno good or de good.
I love him, but we have done Dune.
Yeah.
Let me. Dune. You put the phone away. This is the test.
No, I'm getting.
This is different. No, put hide it, because I'm going to test you.
I don't know. I don't know any of them.
I know.
Oh, okay. Do you want to know how many I know? Blade Runner 2049, Dune 1, Dune 2. I'm out. That's it.
Prisoners.
I didn't know he directed Prisoners.
Have you seen Prisoners?
Yeah, with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
This put your torch on.
Oh God! They put the torch on. They've changed it. They've changed everything.
So that your torch is always coming on. Listen.
Wait a minute.
What do you think is going to happen in this bit where I don't know any more of his films?
Just proving your point.
Okay.
Arrival.
I think I might have known that was him, actually.
Yeah, you should do. That's okay. One you should definitely. Enemy.
Enemy?
Enemy.
Was he the guest editor?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, right. No, I haven't seen that one.
Sicario.
I always thought that the director of that was, who evidently must be the writer of that, Who
Taylor Sheridan.
Is Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah, that's what you thought.
Did he not direct it?
No.
Really?
Denis.
I didn't know Denis did that. No, I didn't know that.
That's it. That's the game. Thanks for playing.
You
see
any others?
There are no others that are worth playing.
I'm sure there are. Let me look at them.
They're on.
Hold on, I'll get them up.
They're on. You haven't seen Encendies.
Enchanté, my friend.
You haven't seen Encendies. That's his foreign movies before he came over.
He's got four films coming up.
Doesn't count.
Do you want to know what they are?
June 4, June 5, June 6.
Oh, you've forgotten the key film coming up, haven't you?
It's June 3.
No, it's not.
Oh no, he's been promised as Bond.
He's Bond.
But no, June 3 is coming out before then, mate. Yeah,
whatever, who cares about June 3? Who cares about June 3?
June 3 Messiah.
Right. What
it's
else?
June 3 Messiah.
Incendies.
Incendies nuts.
Yeah.
So, but do you get what I'm saying?
That he actually has a very small cannon.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, but also.
And that he's shot to the top real quick.
He has.
How old is he?
50.
Really? What was he doing for the last 30 years?
Learning how to be a great filmmaker.
What? With. Okay, because he made a short in 1994. When's his first proper film?
Encendies.
I get the first film. Okay, he directed a film in 1998. He had a big old gaps, didn't he? Big old gaps.
Yeah.
Prisoners kind of comes out of nowhere. That's your point, is it? Or Incendies nuts.
Incendies lodges him, and then he gets his foot in the door with Prisoners.
He basically spends 16 years becoming a good film director.
Right.
Right. There's hope for us all.
My point is, he's a great filmmaker.
Uh huh.
Blade Runner 2049
yeah.
looks phenomenal.
Yeah, and
no one else could make. No one else has made a movie set in the future that has got such a beautiful mix of practical effects and CGI.
Yeah,
everything. It's nearly 10 years old, and it has not aged a day.
And it's very rich emotionally.
TBD.
I mean, no, it's been deed. It's okay. Been deed hard.
Anyway. Arrival is one of my top 15 movies of all time.
Uh-huh.
I try not to overwatch it. It makes me cry.
Sure.
Prisoners. June 2. Enemy, to a lesser extent.
I don't like Prisoners.
Right. This is what I'm saying. He makes good movies, but like, there's something about them that don't like cling.
Yeah.
They don't cling.
Maybe now. Let's use a football analogy.
Oh, please.
Would you like to? You know about footballers who are so surgical. They're very clinical.
Mm.
They do everything efficiently and well.
Klinsmann.
But they never really make an impact with the fans because they don't have any edge to grab onto. They're all smooth, circular.
Give me the top three surgeons.
I've set myself a task I can't complete.
Klinsmann.
I mean, I don't know.
People loved Klinsmann.
People liked Klinsmann.
Bergkamp, but he was an artist. Let's think of 90s. 90s footballers only.
Harry Kane. You know, apart from Spurs fans, no one really loves Harry Kane.
Mm.
He's one of the best footballers of all time. One of the best goal scorers of all time. No one really likes him.
No.
You know?
I don't even agree that you say that and I think, is he the best? I don't know.
Right.
He doesn't seem like he is.
He's one of the greatest goal scorers who's ever lived.
Yeah,
and sort of, no one really cares.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he is.
You know why? Because he's all circle. He is a very efficient goal scorer, but it doesn't matter. You know? Maybe that's like the Denis Villeneuve movies. It could be. Because Prisoners is like,
it's good. It's meaty.
I understand that
it's got performances in there.
I understand.
There's some like grit. It's a first time as a Hollywood bow.
Sure,
lovely bow.
But I don't like it.
No, who's going to rewatch that?
And to be really honest with you, I don't like Dune. I sort of watch them and I think, yeah, they look great, and I sort of get it a bit.
Hey, we've done Dune.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
It's not much to like.
I like Blade Runner 2049. Because it's got the emotional core that Dune just doesn't have.
Yeah. But this is the. What about? I mean, Arrival is for me pure emotion. Gets me in my gourd.
Yeah, I mean, it's so wet that it's like a reservoir, and that's what's required, obviously, to get you going. You know, because subtlety, as evidenced by Blade Runner 2049, it doesn't get you going.
I think there's subtlety, and then there's bad storytelling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. On the one hand, there's subtlety with Blade Runner 2049, and then there's bad storytelling with Arrival. You know what Blade Runner 2049 didn't have to use to get anyone going? Didn't have to use Max Richter, did it? Didn't have to use old Richter to get people going. The cheat code of cinema. Or does Hamlet deserve an Oscar? Does it? Why don't we just call Max up? Max, can we use the song? Yeah, why not? Everyone's used it, including Denis Villeneuve, you know.
Yeah, touche, touche.
There's no comeback to that.
Right, it was just taste, isn't it? One's a sci-fi that speaks to me deeply and tells me about what it means to be a human being.
Mm.
And the other one's Blade Runner 2049.
That joke doesn't work.
No, I know, but it's just fun to fun to deliberately fuck.
I would say one's a sci-fi that, you know, speaks about what it means to be alive.
Yeah.
And the other is one of the greatest films ever made, which is Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. What's the difference between Blade Runner 2049 and Arrival? One is full of stiff robots who don't know what is going on with themselves, and the other's Arrival.
Holograms, mate. Holograms.
Yeah.
They're holograms.
Yeah.
You don't see the robots in this aren't stiff. Gauzes ain't stiff. He's so good in this film. Come on, you got to give the line credit. All the best memories were hers. That's such a good line. What about when he's in there and he realizes that the memory that he's got is a real memory and he sort of like has a little freak out and he screams and kicks the chair over and then walks out. A little bit of Gaza explodes. You know?
Yeah, I like that. And then the film, in a scene after, has a character tell me what's gone on.
Did you think that this was your... you thought this was your memory. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Blade Runner 2049. Thank you for being so subtle. And then also shoving my face in the fucking answer. Pathetic. Have some fucking integrity. They've been so subtle. Oh. That's my problem with the movie. It's so awful. No. It's so subtle. But it knows it's compromised. The whole movie's compromised because it has to sell out and go, oh, just in case the thing goes at the back, didn't get it. That is why I hate... That's why I don't hate this movie. That's why I've got a problem with this movie.
All I did was I put a little bit of scorn on Arrival and suddenly you came for this film. You hate this film. Anyway.
My prediction about Gosling is the performance he puts in Project Hail Mary that's coming out this year.
The makers of The Martian. The least needed...
It's not from the makers of The... It's from the book...
The writer of the Martian, but
it's from the makers of the Spider-Verse.
I'm simply saying that that's like the least needed bit of text ever. Like I was watching that before I see that line by the same author as the book of the Martian or whatever. I'm watching the trailer thinking, like, if they just put Gosses in the Martian, are they doing a sequel of the Martian? That's a different book.
Yeah.
Wow. Come up with a different type of book, person who wrote the Martian. Jesus.
His performance based on the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck, yuck, lots of jokes. I'm not a spaceman.
Yeah.
His performance, retrospectively...
Ken in space.
...is going to make everything he's done leading up to that worse.
No, it's not.
It is.
You think it's actually going to be that bad?
I think so.
Wow, I hope not.
The Scuttlebutt is...
Really?
It's actually a good movie.
Oh.
And it's 3 hours long.
Oh.
I think The Scuttlebutt is bullshit.
Where's The Scuttlebutt coming from?
Hollywood.
Under the couch?
Yeah.
Under the rug?
Creeps out in the trades. Yeah.
Scuttle. You know. Rozzers is good. Not Rozzers, Gozzers.
Rozzers.
I was thinking of Mike Rosser. Rosser.
Rosser.
Yeah.
Honestly, him in that trailer, you've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Go and take... Yeah,
what's my take on the trailer?
He stinks, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like he... whenever that happens, it is just a trailer. But whenever it happens where you watch an actor do something which feels very tonally different from the film you're watching, I always think, you thought you were in a different film, didn't you? And no one told you that you weren't in the film you thought you were in. I think that's always a director issue. So right. I don't watch Gosses. That. I don't watch that and think Gosses is doing a bad job here. I watch that and think Gosses is doing what Gosses has done in other films. If it feels inappropriate here, it's not his fault. Someone else should have told him that and asked him to do something different. And if they didn't, then it's on them. Or it's on the person who wrote the book, The Martian.
Andy Weir. You're so protective of Gosses.
Because Gosses is... He's... Listen, if Timothy Chalamet is for the people younger than me and Brad Pitt is for the people older than me, then Gosses is for me, okay? You can have George Clooney all day long, you fucking old man. I've got Gosses. For better or worse, he's my guy.
I don't... Clooney's not my guy.
No.
Who's my guy?
Pitt's your guy.
No, he's
not. How old are you? Mid-40s.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, your guy has to be like...
Nolan.
Your guy has...
Nolan.
No. Your guy has to be older.
It's Leo.
It's Joaquin Phoenix. It's Leo.
It's Leo.
It's Leo. Your guy. Your guy's Leo.
My guy's Leo.
My guy's Gosses.
Great.
Because Gosses is like, what, he's going to be like 7 years older than me, something like that, probably. And Leo is going to be about the same older than you.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Same taste in women.
Do you want to play the box office game?
Yeah, sure. Let's play the box office game.
Let me get it up on my phone. Budget brackets estimated, please, for Blade Runner 2049. Now, you'll note it came out in 2017.
2017. 2049 comes out in 2017.
2049 came out in 2017.
30 years after 1992.
Oh.
Oh.
And 9 years ago from now.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh,
decade. Dave Bautista. Now, there's a lot of money been spent on this.
Sure. I personally think this is easy.
Oh.
I think I would guess this.
$180 million.
$150 million. I like big round numbers, and that's rounder than 180.
I should have said 150. I thought it was too round, but it was too obvious.
That's why that's where I was steering you.
Denis can bring it on, Budjo.
Yeah, we really can. Okay, opening weekend, US and Canada, October the 8th, 2017. What do you think a little movie like this takes? Is it The Train That Can?
No, I don't think it is The Train That Can. Oh. It might be, but I don't believe it to be. I think it kind of underperforms. I don't think anyone really cares about Blade Runner in 2017.
We went to see it.
Well, of course, because we're Blade Runner boys.
But the cinema wasn't full.
It was not.
We went to see it in the IMAX.
Did we?
We did. We went to see it in the IMAX.
Really? Like, yeah. Dunkirk?
Yeah, like, ooh, Dunkirk. And it wasn't full in there.
No.
And yeah, but I think it was pretty relatively early on in the run.
At this point, Denis is not like, he's not Nolan. People don't, they picked exactly the right director to make it. Thank God it wasn't Ridley Scott.
And they picked the right actor to be in it.
Yeah, but I don't, generally don't think people massively care. I think it might do okay. Does it even do jumper territory? Does it do 25 mil? 25 mil.
It does 33 mil.
Right, so yeah. Just above jumper territory.
Well, yeah.
Just punching above jumper territory.
It's above jumper territory, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, which is what I just said.
Yeah, it's what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 25's a pretty good guess.
Not really.
It is. It's in the ballpark.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess we've done other films where the budget's been 150 and then it's made 90 or something.
Right.
That, the hope would have been that it would have made 60 or something.
Yeah.
And it didn't do that.
And I guess kind of a lot. I didn't guess 60, did I? I guess
you didn't. You guessed
33.
25.
Yeah, which is like numbers-wise.
It's outside of the 10%.
No, but it's ballpark. It's a good ballpark guess.
You can definitely see the ballpark from where you are, for sure.
No, I'm in the ballpark.
I don't think you're in the... you're in the bleachers.
Listen, there's the
that's in the ballpark. That's people. When people say, "Hey, do you want to go to the ballpark later?" They don't mean, "Do you want to go and stand on the grass?" Right. They mean, "Do you want to go and sit in the bleachers and watch the game?"
I'm not so a home plate.
You're not the home plate.
No,
but you're inside the ground.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
great.
You're just not on the grass.
No, fine.
Yeah, you're not on the ballpark.
No,
okay.
No,
you're not on the ballpark.
No, but I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah,
I'm watching the game.
That's what I said. You're not on the ballpark. You're just inside the ballpark.
Yeah, okay.
A little less good than what you were saying. Anyway, gross worldwide. What do you think this movie takes gross worldwide? Now, you can always use the 10x rule to help you here.
I don't need help.
Well, you do, because you get it wrong almost every week. So
that's not true.
Well, it depends what you mean by wrong.
You're keeping a tally.
I'm keeping a tally.
Where?
Well, I don't show it to you, because I think it would be really demoralising.
I don't think you are keeping a tally.
Well, at some point I'm going to have to stop, because my wall is going to run out of space on the no section. And I've got a big wall.
Right. You're like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank. You're carving it in the wall, and it's in the no thing, and then it kind of pulls out a little chunk, and then you realise you can tunnel out of your life.
And one day I can escape from the podcast.
Yeah.
Andy Dufresne.
Andy Dufresne.
He spent 20 years tunnelling through that wall, and then he climbed through 4 football fields worth of shit and piss. And now he doesn't have to record the podcast no more.
Do you hold any truck with the notion like, oh, 20 years in the same cell and he didn't get moved? Any truck with that?
I got a lot of truck with that film just generally. Yeah.
Bad truck or good truck?
Bad truck.
Right. You're like, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's going to be moving in a thing.
Is it real? Is it based on a true story?
Yeah, it's based on a true story.
Yeah. Written by the guy who wrote the book The Martian.
Yes.
Just as believable. Now, gross worldwide.
Let's say it's going to wash its face for a little bit, and it might get its marketing budget back. So,
how much is it spending on marketing?
Oh, a lot of money.
But is it spending the same again?
No.
It's not spending $150 million.
No, it'll spend like $50 million.
Spend $50 million, dollars, sure. 60.
Yeah.
You're so liberal with the truth in these worlds, aren't
you? Well, it depends what they feel like the movie, you know,
what do you think?
Well, it's probably going to make, like, I'd love it. This is my wish as opposed to what I know, because I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to make 240 mil.
Uh-huh.
I would hope at least, if not more, but I don't think it quite has it. But let's find out.
Do you want to be inside the 10%? Let me ask you a question.
That 10% thing is nothing.
You're
to
in
me.
The ballpark.
Right.
You're in the ballpark.
Great.
If you were to move 5 million in either direction, one direction or the other, it's only one, not both, so not in either.
No.
What I said was wrong.
Yeah.
If you were to move 5 million in one direction,
yeah,
but you need to guess which direction it is,
yeah,
which direction would you go?
What did I say?
You said $240 million.
I don't want to. Are you going to make me? I don't want to guess.
I'm telling you, you're in
down,
the ballpark.
Down then.
You're going down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wrong.
Right.
I'm so sorry. That's wrong. You've made your guess worse than it was.
No,
before.
Because I stick in the ballpark. I want to be in the
ballpark. Well, I don't think you're in the ballpark anymore because 235.
No, because I haven't done. That's not what that fucking game was.
$235 million.
No, I guessed 240.
You did guess 240.
That's my guess.
But then you rounded it down.
No, I didn't. Piss off. What's the fucking thing?
You were really close to the 10%. It made $278 million. So when you say 240.
Oh, you see, I feel like.
24 is the 10%.
Really?
Add that on to 240. You're at 264.
Right.
You weren't far
I feel
off,
like
man.
I'm a bit too far away, but okay.
It gets 280 versus 240.
I'm like close to 200.
That's the same as the 33-25 thing.
It's closer to 300. Listen, this is how I just see numbers.
My God, man. What is wrong with you? Like the Kanye West of this game.
Friends, no need to call me a Nazi.
Okay, hold on. You're like the fucking...
The what?
You're like the Rain Man of this game, except you can't count.
You're like the Bill Murray of this game, whispering fake little stuff in my ear that no one else is supposed to hear.
You're like the Rosie and Jim of this game, you know?
Yeah.
In that you live on a boat and you keep getting further away from the truth.
Right. You're like the Sam Mendes of this game. You never really understand what's good about what you do and you keep trying, but you keep... getting it wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like the Robin Wright pen of this game. You thought you had the right answer, but then you dropped the pen and couldn't write it down.
You're like the one battle after another of this game.
Yeah.
You think you're really good.
I am
you
good.
Think you're amazing.
Yeah.
You think you're the tip-top best thing in the world.
Right.
But you're nothing.
Right.
You're nothing. You stink. And I hate you.
You're like the Marty Supreme of this game. You had a good run right now, but no one's going to remember this next week when you fuck up again.
Yeah, you're like...
It made me think the whole notion of film criticism is absolutely pointless, because if you don't like a film, it just means you've watched it at the wrong time.
Should we do the bit of the show where one of us suggests a list of movies to catch up the other one on a movie that they forgot?
Yes.
The stakes are really high.
Are they?
I'm going to list 5 movies. And if I don't get you, you get to pull my pants down.
I'm going to do something now. I'm going to lay back in my chair and be further from the microphone just for this game. So it might sound different, okay?
Okay. Okay, because it's come up so many times in today's episode, and because I'm a massive believer in coincidence and energy and signs.
You're not saying Arrival?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good.
Rain Man.
I had Rain Man on my list.
Ooh.
And I tried to get you on Rain Man.
Yeah.
And you said no.
Right.
Right.
And now I'm trying to get you on it. Because you've said it 3 fucking... You don't have to take it. You don't want to do it. Don't do it.
God, do I want to watch Rain Man? Do you really want to watch Rain Man?
Not really, but I wanted to say it.
Store it away. If you don't get me on the other 4, we'll watch Rain Man.
Okay.
God.
As Good As It Gets.
With Big Jack and... Is it Diane Keaton?
No.
No, it's the other
Helen
one.
Helen Hunt.
It's Helen Hunt. I mean, that definitely also gets me. Yeah. Keep going.
I'm going to surprise you.
Are these all from ITVX?
No, my good pal Jem, actually, he mentioned As Good As It Gets in passing, and I thought, yes, please.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one, Jem.
Rocky.
What, Balboa?
The first one.
I've got Rambo on my list, but...
Never seen Rambo.
You never seen Rambo?
No,
that's a joke.
No. Never seen it. Never seen any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
You never saw Rambo?
Never saw it.
What the fuck, man? That's the weirdest thing about you.
First Blood.
That is instantly the weirdest thing about you.
It's called First Blood.
I know it's called First Blood.
But you don't call it Rambo.
Well, it's called Rambo First Blood.
Well,
it's not called First Blood. It's called Rambo colon First Blood.
Yeah, it's Rambo First Blood.
And it's about a man who ate too much and then went to the toilet.
Weirdest thing about me.
I don't think... Yeah, I think that's the weirdest thing about you.
Okay.
I think that's instantly the weirdest thing I know about you.
Shall I watch... It feels like now, really go back and watch Rambo. It just feels like one of those things that are just like things that should have been forgotten.
The first Rambo film probably would have been forgotten if they hadn't made more. But it's not a bad film. And it's very different from the ones later. You know all the jokes, of course, about how many people die.
That's from the sequels. And I do know... Rambo is actually based on a British book called Rogue Mail.
Written by...
Geoffrey Household.
Oh, I was going to say by the guy who wrote the book The Martian.
No. It's a pared back guy in the woods type
thing. One person dies in that film.
Yeah. Maybe I should watch it, but I'm a Rogue Mail kind of guy, not a Sylvester Stallone kind of guy.
Yeah, I watched Rocky relatively recently.
Really?
Yeah, I
would say it was on ITV. Within the last, ITVX.
Within the last 5 years, I actually think it's a very good film.
That's why I wanted an excuse to watch it.
Okay, keep that on the list. Keep going.
The Star Trek reboot.
Wow. Yeah.
Christopher Pine.
Yeah, Pine. I mean, we've never really done this before because we don't usually keep going forever. But you've got me with all 4. You want to get a clean sweep?
Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. Okay, to make the clean sweep, this is going to be... I'm going to throw in a listener suggestion here. Because, guys, if you email me, because Joe doesn't check the emails, moviesyouforgot@gmail.com. You can email me your movies you forgot. Nice kind words, sometimes stuff to read out on the podcast. I'm taking notes and I'm going to read out Listener Donald, he suggested this. I think it's a great shout. The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
What is that?
The Ken Loach, Cillian Murphy.
Oh, God, the Irish film.
Yeah, you see? Oh, God. You said you've made the noise.
Oh, God. Have I seen that, though?
That would be so
heavy.
Am
I thinking of the something of the Buttons? What's the Buttons Irish movie?
The War of the Buttons.
The War of the Buttons.
Never saw that. Donald, great show.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
Maybe possibly too heavy for the podcast, so never would have suggested it.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a clean sweep. It's 5 for 5.
It's 5 for 5.
I think we shouldn't do The Wind That Shakes the Barley. because it is a little heavy.
But give Donald a little shout out and say, well done, Donald.
Well done, Donald. Is it Domnal?
Donald, no, D-O-N-A-L, Donald.
Donal.
Is that Donal?
Well, it is now.
Okay.
It is now. I wonder if, I'm trying to wonder if Donal is an Irish name.
I mean, one of the films he suggested was Irish-based.
Yeah.
But then Ken Loach isn't Irish. Is no. It an Irish movie?
Well, he wishes he was. Don't you think? Has anyone ever wished they were Irish more than Ken Loach?
Well, you.
Apart from Richard Thompson wishes he's Irish.
Apart from you?
Apart from, no, I mean, I am Irish.
Right.
I ignored it completely.
Yeah, no, I saw. Can you get your Irish passport?
Richard Thompson wishing he was Irish. That's a really good joke. You don't get that, do you? No.
That's a music joke for music. It's a
music
wankers.
Joke for musos. Not actually, not for musos. For people who like folk music. Mm. I think I'm going to suggest something now.
Yeah.
World first, not world first. That's crazy. Podcast first. Those four films, not The Wind That Shakes the Barley. The other four. Let's put them on the Discord in a poll. And give people who are there now 2 days to vote for it. People who are listening to this, they won't be able to get to that vote by then because it will have already been voted for. Of right. course, this is happening in the past, not when you're listening to it now. But this is a good advert for joining the Discord because I think we could do things like this a little more regularly. So for the current listeners who are in the Discord, they could pick. And then we'll do that film.
They will have picked.
They will have picked already. I mean, they'll have picked already.
Well done if you picked.
Yeah. If you want, what you can do is we can put the poll up now, and then when you're editing this episode, you can add a little bit at the end.
I'm not doing that.